Hi, this is Matt Hill, the voice of Captain N, the Game Master, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist,
hey.
Or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain.
It's over here!
Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane.
Idiot!
As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts this fall.
Come on, Perry!
So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Mom! Phineas and Ferb are making a title sequence!
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello and welcome to episode 73 of Pauka, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Today is the 73rd, first, second day of summer. I don't know what it says. And it means that it's the day that the GCRN finally gets back to our cartoon review podcast for 2021, the Phineas and Ferb Show, the podcast organization without a cool acronym. We have more than just one cartoon, folks. Yay! Aren't you happy?
I'm so happy.
Okay, Cheryl Crow.
What?
Really? Serious?
That reference wouldn't go over my head. I would catch it.
You should catch it. Oh, God. Anyway, first up tonight is What a Crock. And no, he didn't hit Batman with a rock.
Throw a rock at him.
I thought there was a Killer Croc reference there somewhere, but you came about it in a roundabout kind of way.
I'll give you a roundabout.
Roundabound.
It's going to rotisserie around to your rotary. Anyway.
Anyone else want to go? There I was, holed up in this quarry. When Batman came nosing around, he was getting closer, closer.
And?
I threw a rock at him.
So, Harvey, what became of the giant penny?
It was a big rock.
They actually let him keep it.
Hello, Candace. Are Phineas and Ferb here?
Yes. Yes.
Can I see them?
Probably not from there.
I would like to visit with my friends Phineas and Ferb. Could I please come in?
Well, why did you say so?
I am sure you would like to know what it is I am holding in my hands.
Nope.
Well, if you insist, behold the ultimate Phineas and Ferb digital scrapbook. Uppafuds for short.
Uppafuds?
Uppafuds!
Whatevs.
It's a digital compilation of Phineas and Ferb's creations.
Phineas and Ferb's creations?
Yeah, see? It's everything they've done over the summer.
It's perfect. Could I just borrow that for a...
The Uppafeds does not leave my person.
Hey, Irving, is that the Uppafeds?
Why, yes. Yes, it is.
Cool, let's see.
We interrupt Horse in a Bookcase to bring you this breaking news bulletin. Little Cranky the Crocodile has gone missing. Kids everywhere remember Little Cranky the Crocodile from his popular show, Little Cranky the Crocodile.
I don't know, I just thought it'd be nice for Cranky to take a ride, get some fresh air... But a couple of speed bumps later, bada-bing, bada-boom, no Crikey. I just hope he's okay.
Search parties are looking in the swamp areas of Danville, but nobody's seen any sign of him.
They're wasting their time in that swampy marsh.
When the boys learn that the famous Crikey, the crocodile, Crikey the crocodile, we're all Australian now, has gone missing, they set out to find and return him to his home at the Danville Nature Preserve. Meanwhile, to Candace's amazement, Irving reveals his digital scrapbook compilation of all of Phineas and Ferb's wild creations, and guest star Ray Liotta fills in for Major Monogram to give Perry his mission. Also, Dr. Doofenshmirtz plans to embarrass his brother by using his chicken replacinator to replace Roger's mayoral award with the nearest chicken.
Oh,
my
It's
God.
An old word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God, this episode.
Is that a good oh my God or a bad?
Yeah, no, it's good. Oh my God. I was wondering where Doof was getting all the nearest chickens.
Oh, see, now you're giving away.
No, I know. I'm not giving it away. I'm just saying, throughout the entire episode, the first time I rewatched it, I was like, where is he getting all these nearest chickens from? And I'm like, oh, okay.
See, now, we should probably talk about this at the end.
True.
But, you know, he says he's going to replace with the nearest chicken. Ray Liotta, who for some reason shows up as himself, which makes no sense. Almost as much sense as Kelly Clarkson showing up as herself and not singing, right?
Yeah.
Ray Liotta shows up and he says that Doof has been taking all of the chickens in the area. So I assumed he had like a pen, like on the floor below the penthouse or something that was just full of chickens. That was my guess. Yeah. That's not the case. You know, well, it's not the case because at the end of the show, it's revealed where the chickens actually came from. But Ray Liotta had misdirected me, let's say.
Yes. Well, you know,
I will not forgive him.
Yeah. He is a good fella for that.
I was going to make that joke at the end. You suck.
So, I have not seen it in the, when did we start this podcast? 2016, 2017? I don't even remember now. But anyway, I have not seen any links or anything on this wiki at all until now, or maybe I just missed it.
Mm.
However, we now have a name for Droopy and his wife.
Really?
It's the silliest thing, though. It's basically farmer and farmer's wife. That's Droopy is so much better.
I like Droopy better. I mean, copyright infringement, sure.
Obviously,
trademark infringement, right? But yeah. I don't like farmer because he's not a farmer in everyone. No. You know, he's just like badgered husband, henpecked spouse. Yeah. You know, and he's just like, you know, being belittled by his shrew of a wife every time.
I want a divorce. The best years of my life slaving over a hot nest. And what thanks do I get? You barnyard boob! The minute my back was turned, he did it.
And I think they could have done better than just farmer. I would be interested to see, like, the end of this episode to go back and see in the credits if he's actually credited as farmer. I'm making finger quotes. Farmer.
Well, I mean, you know, if, you know, the wiki says it must be true. Jennifer L. Hughes is the voice of the farmer's wife, as obviously Corey Burton is the voice of the farmer.
Corey Burton.
Yep.
It's funny because when you click on her name in the wiki, mm-hmm. it then proceeds to call her farmer's wife.
Yep.
Several times. And I'm like, you know, you're wrong. You just made that up. And you're wrong. Anyway. Anyhow, but Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta, yes.
Ray Liotta, everybody. Yay.
Yay.
Good morning, Agent Pete. I know what you're thinking. Aren't you Hollywood's Ray Liotta? The answer is yes. Yes, I am. I'm sitting in for my good friend Major Monogram while he's getting some manscaping done. I mean, mustaches like that, they don't just happen. Besides, I owe him big for that favor he did for me at the Academy.
Hey, Ray, I just did a favor for you.
Thanks, Francis. I owe you big.
Anyway, our web monitors tell us that Dr. Doofenshmirtz has been frequenting websites and blogs dedicated to chickens and chicken-related jokes. We don't know what that means, but it's got to be something foul. We need you to get out there and take him down a peg. Good luck, Agent P.
That felt great, Carl.
fighting evil like that? I was like, zing, wow, yeah!
And Irving. Irving, my least favorite side character.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of her. I don't like his voice. He's just... Rrr.
He's okay.
I don't like him. But he shows up and he's got the Ultimate Phineas and Ferb Digital Scrapbook. Yes. Otherwise known as the...
Upafids.
Yeah, the Upafids. And I'm like, haven't we seen this before? You know what I'm talking about. This is the same thing that happened when he had the CDs. And Candace really wanted the CD with all the pictures of the stuff on it. And, you know, so he's got these CDs of incriminating evidence, and they spend a whole episode, you know, chasing them down. Or Candace spends a whole episode chasing them down. Mm-hmm. But it's like, this is similar. It's kind of like a MacGuffin that we've seen before.
Yeah. But this is digital, and they could make the backup joke. Ew, what were you thinking?
Give me that nerd box. I'm tired of being nice.
No, wait. I told you the Upafist does not leave my person ever.
Oh, no! You ate my evidence, you overgrown lizard!
There you are, Perry.
I just can't believe it's gone.
Oh, don't be blue. All we've got to do is wait a couple of hours.
Ew, and... disgusting!
What? My brother will be here with my backup. What were you thinking? Oh, that is disgusting.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the big missed opportunity here, right, is that they spend most of the episode in the sewers, but there's no Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I know, but this isn't Nickelodeon, sadly.
Well, I mean, they could have alluded to it, you know.
Yeah, I guess. You know, they could have put a rat in there somewhere with, you know, some meat cleavers or something. I don't know.
It's a kid's show.
Yeah, it's a kid's show. So I am looking at Jennifer L. Hughes' IMDb page.
Of course you are.
According to this, she is listed as the farmer's wife and additional voices, not only for Phineas and Ferb, but for Across the Second Dimension and the latest film that came out last year, Candace Against the Universe. So if IMDb lists it as farmer's wife, then that must be what it is.
Sorry.
Just saying. Hey, I'm right there with you, dude. I think Droopy and Droopy's wife is a better thing, but what the hell do I know?
Well, you know, Droopy and Evil Shrew wife.
Yeah.
Evil Harpy wife, you know. Anyway.
So,
but it's just funny because this time, unlike all the other Droopy appearances, the opposite happens. And instead of a business falling from the sky, you know, his existing business disappears.
Yeah.
And is replaced with whatever's in Doofenshmirtz's lab, I assume.
Yep.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. I like this one, but I don't know if I like it enough.
I don't love it. But I wouldn't marry it, but I might take it to a movie. Yeah.
Movie theaters still exist in 2021? I don't even
know. Not anymore. No, not anymore. Sorry, that was an outdated reference. That shows how old I am. I was dating myself. But the funny thing about the crocodile is that he's been kidnapped by Candace, essentially. And he seems more scared of her driving than she is.
She used to drive a monster truck, so driving a monster crocodile should be easy. I mean, seriously, a crocodile monster? Who wants to drive a crocodile monster through Danville? And honestly, they're using boats or fan boats or what? Like, I think she and the crocodile were on a fan boat. I'm like, when is Bobby Boucher and his mama going to show up? I mean, where's the water boy in all of this?
On the fan boat. Yeah,
that's right.
I don't even think she knows how to drive. The song.
Yes.
I don't know the name of the song, but the Subterranean Crocodile Apprehension Expedition sticks out for me. I like that best as the song.
That's the name of the song, because the only other, yeah. Subterranean Crocodile Apprehension Expansion.
Expedition?
Expedition. There you go. S-C-A-E. That really makes no sense.
Skia.
The only other song in here is Horse in a Bookcase, and I'm sorry, that's not a real song. It is a real song.
A song? What?
Yeah. Horse in a Bookcase?
Lame.
I got a horse in a bookcase, blah, 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 blah.
That's
the episode where the horse in the book, this is the episode where the TV show, because Candace says, okay, so I'm in charge, right? Well, technically dad's here. And then they cut to what dad and the boys were doing, watching the show, and it's horse in a bookcase, blah, blah.
Wait, are you getting too far ahead? I'm confused.
No, it's in What a Croc. It's in the very beginning.
No, I thought, really? I thought it was in Phineas and Ferb TV.
No, I'm not getting ahead at all. No, Horse in a Bookcase. I'm on the What a Croc.
Yeah.
It's in What a Croc because it's in the very beginning when mom says she's going wherever she's going and Candace says, well, I'm in charge, right? And mom says to her, well, technically dad's here. They cut to Lawrence with the boys sitting on the couch and they show the television on the TV is Horse in a Bookcase.
That's funny.
Cut back to Mom and Candace, and Mom goes, you're in charge.
You're in charge. I didn't remember that part.
All right, Candace, I'm headed out to the zoo to do my volunteer work.
Which means I'm in charge.
Well, not really, because Dad's here. Right, honey?
That's right, dear.
And now back to Horse in a Bookcase.
It's a horse in a bookcase. It's a horse in a bookcase. Little horse in a bookcase. It's a horse!
You're in charge.
Bye, Mom. Have fun at the zoo.
But Horse in a Bookcase shows up on Phineas and Ferb TV. And
yes, it does.
It perplexed me in such ways because I had, what the hell is this? I had remembered that it showed up in this episode, I would have understood a little better. I would have been less perplexed.
I'm still trying to figure out what the hell they're referencing on that show. That's the only thing. It's a horse in a bookcase. Yes, but you know they love their illusions.
I'm sure it's in a wiki making a huge stretch.
I don't see anything. Anyway.
Croiky.
Yes, croiky.
Croiky. So they have a croco locator, which is like just this shy of being an innator.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems kind of something that would be evil. I'm looking for crocodiles to take over the dry state area.
Yes. But yeah,
Steve Irvin wouldn't say crikey. He'd say croiky.
Yes.
He wants to bite me.
I'm really surprised that this did not... When did Steve die?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Anyway.
Now I'm depressed. Thanks.
No, it's not. That's not the point.
Let's invoke the name of national icon Steve Irwin and, remember his passing for a moment.
Oh, he died September 4th, 2006. Okay, so they could... My whole point of even asking when did Steve Irwin pass away...
Yeah.
I wish they had gotten Bindi in here for a guest spot.
Oh my God!
That would have been so cool if they got
Bindi. That would have been 10 times better than Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
Honestly, right, past Goodfellas, the only other thing I can think of him being in that I've seen is the TV, the NBC series Shades of Blue. Anyway, what are we rating What a Croc?
I'm going to give this one a 3 for crocodile tablet poo.
Ew.
Ew.
Ew. I am right there with you. I did enjoy it, but Horse in a Bookcase kind of took me out of it a little bit. So minus 2 points for Horse in a Bookcase. Worst show ever.
Like, I don't understand this at all. Why is he in that bookcase? We don't know how that fella got in there, but I'm like, I don't understand what... This makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And again, yeah, I was thinking, what does this allude to? I don't understand this.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
But it was on TV, which leads us to the next episode.
Okay, give it a chance. We want your honest opinion.
We know it's a little weird.
Which is Ferb TV. Now, this starts off strange. You always talk about how they break format and they do things differently. Just follow along with us here, folks. Phineas and Ferb create their own TV shows and commercials that include Baljeet starring as a ninja doctor, a variety show featuring the giant floating baby head and Klimt balloon, as well as Buford and a temperamental celebrity chef, and much more. I liked this, but really? I was really, like, no Perry Layer entrance, no evil jingle, because Dr. Doof is dressed up in a mouse uniform trying to be all pinky-ish of himself.
What's weird is it looks like Doof in a mouse uniform, but when he speaks, it's not Doof.
No.
That was just the tip of the iceberg of disappointment I had in this episode.
Help, help! Is there a doctor in the house?
I am a doctor. And yes, I am single. What seems to be the problem here?
I think I sprained my ankle.
And you want me to take a look at it?
No, I want your brain.
Brains. Shape-shifting alien zombies. Fair enough, but I must tell you that I am kind of using my brain right now.
Yeah!
Oh yeah, and I'm also a ninja. See?
Dr. Ninja Baljeet in color.
Yeah. I mean, the only good thing with this episode is Channel 6, Cat Car.
Cat Car. Sure. You know, when I saw Knight Rider, I thought of you.
Of course.
And Roger gets to drive the cat car.
Well, I mean, seriously, who else is going to drive the cat car in this?
I've never thought of Roger as, like, Hasselhoff, though. But no.
But I mean, out of all the characters and all their designs, he's probably the only one that could do it. And Heinz isn't even in the entire show. It's not Heinz as the mouse. I thought it was at first, but it's not. Like he
barely made it into the show. I was actually relieved to hear him at the end. I was kind of bummed that he didn't show up and. I was like, something's wrong. We're missing something. And it was him. I don't think they had any of the tropes that they normally have. And this, you know, I don't know if you watch like Rick and Morty.
No.
But this, and I know this came out long ago, and the interdimensional TV episodes of Rick and Morty came out much later. But this reminds me of like the interdimensional TV episodes of Rick and Morty. And these are basically, you know, they have one per season. And it's basically Justin Roiland, who does the voices of Rick and Morty. You know, he's just riffing for half an hour. He's just making stuff up. And he's doing fake TV shows and he's doing fake TV commercials. And it seems like he just riffs for an hour, you know, and then he sends all that. Voice recordings over to Taiwan or whatever, and they just animate it. You know, they just make stuff up. And it's kind of like this, but for adults.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you get a chance to watch the interdimensional TV episodes of Rick and Morty, you know, give it a shot. But it's like, oh, hey, it's quirky TV series that we're making up that we're animating.
Welcome to the Klimt Balloon and Giant Floating Baby Head Hour, starring that magical old-timey bathing suit that lives in the Himalayas, Klimt Balloon, and the inexplicable Giant Floating Baby Head, with tonight's guests, Dave and Jim and the Tri-State Whimsy Jugglers, Dexter Thompson and his chocolate harmonica, the musical stylings of Bicentennial Crab, and featuring six of the eight original Klimt Balloon and Giant Floating Baby Head dancers. And now, here are your hosts, the magical old-timey bathing suit that lives in the Himalayas, Klimt Balloon, and the inexplicable Giant Floating Baby Head.
It's like It's the Norm. Mm-hmm. I should have liked It's the Norm. Because mm-hmm. it's got Norm.
He's a robot from space. She's a little girl. They come from totally different worlds. If you think their world's apart, you're misinformed. Though it might seem unusual, that's the Norm. That's the Norm.
Norm, if you're gonna live here, you can't just wander into Jeremy's room like this. What if he found out about you? They didn't make you return to outer space.
Space is cold and unforgiving, like my father.
Oh no, it's Jeremy! Quick, hide!
Susie, is that you? What are you doing in my room?
I was making you a surprise.
Surprise? What is it?
Well, I made you your own entrance.
Holy guacamole, you sure are a handful.
Yeah.
But I hate the laugh track. I hate the catchphrases. Holy guacamole. I'm like, oh my God, just slice my wrists right now.
Okay,
the
fourth
wall breaking, you're winking at the camera. I'm just like, oh, and I get it. It's like 90s TV series. It's like...
It's not even 90s. According to the wiki, they're trying to spoof Alf from the 80s. Yes.
See, you know, I was thinking like Small Wonder, but yeah.
Well, the reason why it's Alf, and I'm not just going off the wiki, but now that I saw that they pointed that out, is that he crashes down to their back, like he comes from space.
Yeah.
So he has to return to space or something or other.
Comes from the second dimension.
Yeah. No, second dimension Norm would be, you know, a robot with muffins all the time.
Well, just because he didn't have muffins didn't mean that he doesn't really like muffins. But I thought I would like that. And you know, they come back two or three times as they flip through the channels. And it's like, oh, hey, you know, there's Norm again. And the laugh track and the catchphrases and the winking at the camera over and over. And oh, I'm just like, you know, I've lost brain cells.
Oh, stop.
Literally diminished in IQ watching this show.
It might next to Suddenly Susie, which is the one where she Suddenly Susie is the doof plot where he has the where Perry has to drive the banana truck.
Yeah.
And he has to, you know, have Doof's thing slip on the banana peel thing. But that, like, next to that episode for the Doof thing, like, this might be the only episode of the entire series where I actually liked Susie, because she's not trying to destroy Candace. She's not trying to do anything to Candace, because Candace isn't trying to get time with Jeremy and everything else.
Right.
But yeah, like, I you know,
I might agree with you there. She was less annoying, let's say. Yeah. Buford as a mean chef. Your cooking stinks, and so do you. And it's sad because I couldn't remember the chef's name.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there. You know, and it came to me like long after, but I was really annoyed that I could not remember his name. I'm like, oh, Gordon Ramsay, that's his name.
Buford Van Stomp, world-renowned chef. Winner of the coveted Palme de Mouton, runner-up in the Tri-State Chili Cook-Off, and master purveyor of cuisine to the crowned heads of...
Get that camera out of my face!
He's also kind of mean.
You bet your boots!
Today on Your Cooking Stinks and So Do You, Van Stomp will be critiquing the culinary stylings of master chef André Guilbeau, creator of the legendary Crepes Guilbeau, and the world-renowned olive-free olive loaf-flavored olive.
Ducky Momo has his own show.
Oh, God. You want to talk about annoying.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, it's kiddie. It's a kiddie show. It's almost too kiddie.
Like, I understand that, but at least in those kiddie shows, the person that is, like, those interactive kiddie shows that, like, oh, welcome to Blue's Clues. This is what Steve and Blue are going to do today. Blue needs to find the bridge. At least when you pause and say, okay, Blue, go look over there.
Yeah.
It comes back and says, oh, over here? Okay. You know, and I get that's what the joke is. That's
Blue doesn't just wander back and forth oblivious.
Yeah, like Blue isn't oblivious, and hell, even Barney isn't oblivious kind of thing.
I love you. Shut up, bitch. I'm not done.
Ducky Mo, Ducky Mo Mo. He's your very best friend.
Poor Ducky Momo, are you lost? Yes, you are. Ducky Momo needs to get to the other side of the Dumbledown River. Can you help him find the Butterberry Bridge?
Behind you, Ducky Momo!
It's behind you!
Yeah, right there!
Right there, Ducky Momo!
It's right there!
It's right there!
Behind you!
Right there behind you!
Behind you and to the left!
To your other left!
Right there, behind you! Behind
no,
you.
The other way!
Oh, for Pete's sake!
Well, I was thinking Dora the Explorer.
Well, that too.
Because when you have like call outs, like, can you tell me where the vine is? And they're all like, it's behind you. And she turns around and goes, oh, there it is. And it's like, I'm helping, you know?
Yeah.
But here it's like Ducky Momo just, you know, kind of like bouncing back and forth. And
the character says,
how has he survived this long?
I know, right? I'm like, please. Yeah, I'm like, please, Swiper, swipe Ducky Momo, please. Swiper gonna swipe. Yeah.
Swipe left. Did Lorenzo Lamas come back to play Meep, or did they just use recordings from the last time he said Meep?
That's a good question.
I mean, he's got a voice credit, so I mean it's entirely possible they just put recordings in there and he didn't have to say anything, but you know, he still gets a credit.
Yeah.
And that's how you keep your SAG card. Meep carbonated goulash for breakfast.
Oh, wow. Some additional voices were done by Jennifer Grey.
Hey, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I assume it's the right. Yeah. Miss Baby herself.
Yeah.
Her.
She just happened to be in the studio that day? Or she come in with Lorenzo Lamas?
Well, the interesting thing here is who some of the other additional voices are in the episode. Sabrina Carpenter, who would go on to voice, I think it's her. Melissa Chase and Milo Murphy. So that's interesting to see Sabrina, to see and hear Sabrina Carpenter as some other voices in this one. It just lists her as additional voices, but yeah. It's interesting to see her listed here. And obviously she went on to star as Milo's best friend, Melissa, in Milo Murphy's Law. Very cool, very cool. I don't know.
This is funny. It says Jennifer Grey's character of Jeannie Bueller in Ferris Bueller's Day Off served as the inspiration for Candace. I'm not sure if I buy that. I think that might be the wiki stretching again.
Yeah,
if Candace had that character's cold-minded determination, I think she'd bust her brothers at least once.
At least once, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least once.
Jennifer Grey, everybody. Holy cow. I don't even know who she played.
Holy guacamole, nobody. It's listed as additional voices, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
Holy guacamole, it's Jennifer Grey. All right, what are you going to give Ferb TV?
I'm going to give it a 2 for not being as good as Rick and Morty.
Look at me! I'm the life of the party!
My lamp needs a brighter bulb.
That's the norm!
Oh, Lord, I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm like, what did you think of Ferb TV? I kind of hated it.
I didn't hate it. I just...
The version I watched, it was like they had the Disney Channel bumpers that were built into the episode. And each one was like, so what do you think of Ferb TV? And I'm like, I'm hating it so far, you know. And then the next commercial bumper, so what do you think of Ferb TV? I'm like,
Wait a minute. What commercial? Didn't you watch this on Disney Plus?
No, I didn't. I watched it on YouTube.
What the?
What?
You're supposed to be. That's the whole reason why I convinced you to convince your wife to get Disney Plus, so you could watch these on. Oh my god!
I had to sneak downstairs because she was watching Young and Hungry.
So. Is that on Disney Plus?
No, it's on Netflix. But she's
so you can still log on to your computer, Disney Plus. I'm sure I think it's DisneyPlus.com. You know, and
can you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could watch Disney Plus on your computer.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking for a Disney Plus app on my phone, and I couldn't find one.
Seriously?
Yeah. I was trying to get it, trying to view Disney Plus on my computer, and I couldn't. Maybe I'm just old and don't know how to make it work.
Yeah, you probably don't. It's it is DisneyPlus.com. Anyway, 3.5 for me, 2 for him, Ferb TV. It got canceled. And we're moving on because Mom is in his house.
Phineas, Ferb, hey boys, so what's on the agenda for today?
We thought we'd do something classic and take Perry for a walk in the park.
He does need the exercise. Well, I'm heading to the store to pick up some things for dinner. I'm thinking spaghetti and meatballs or a spaghetti meatball. That's spaghetti and meat mixed up into a big ball. It's less of a choice of food than a choice of shape. Don't forget to bring a duty bag for Perry.
We won't. Hey, where is Perry?
Mom is in the his house. When Phineas and Ferb can't find Perry, they decide to create the Perrytronic 3000, a mechanical structure that can assume any form, of course, being aware of the boys' every move. Candace decides to take a different tactic on busting approach by using a new technique that keeps Phineas and Ferb from finishing their Perry project. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz invents a duplicate-inator, 2, so that he can duplicate his own head and supposedly make himself twice as smart. Yeah, that didn't work out for you so well, did it, Doof?
Did he make a duplicate-inator previously? Is that
yes.
What
this is? Yes, two? Yes.
Did he spell it like that? Because that seems
kind yes. of yes, he did.
Okay. With an 8 instead of a...
Yep.
I see. Do you know why 7 was afraid of 8?
Something about 9.
7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah. So
I totally wrong. Why is 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
I'm not clever. I'm sorry.
You're not clever. this actually goes all the way back to season 1, Runaway. He did the duplicate-inator in that let's see, what does it say here?
The wiki is your friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was the copy and paste-inator. Hates waiting. Oh, yeah. He hates waiting in line. So he was duplicating himself. And he made that really weird duplicate a version of himself at the end that didn't want to do anything right. Kind of like a dodo bird. Anyway. So, yes, we have Mom is in the his house.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's okay. It works. I like that Candace is taking a different approach and just keeping them working so she can... You know,
the BB Buster.
Yeah, it's BB busting, and Stacy's like, "Okay, fine, you do you."
Yeah. Perrytronic 3000 has its own theme song.
Yep, the Perrytronic.
Perrytronic, not as thrilled with the Perrytronic theme song.
Really?
Yeah. Well, this is coming from somebody who like. You know, walks around the house going do 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 do. It's just stuck in my head half the time, you know. And it's like a soundtrack that is stuck there. So you know, when you try to preempt that with the Perrytronic 3000 theme song, it just doesn't work for me.
Don't worry, the theme song will explain everything.
Theme song.
Robot from a kid's backyard.
Perrytronic.
His parts are shiny and his metal is hard.
Perrytronic.
He can't assume any form. Hang on, there's a spec metal. There's one caveat. It must be big and metal.
Perrytronic.
Can't be a kitten or a little block of wood.
Perrytronic.
Not sure if you wanted to, even if you could.
Perrytronic.
So let me recap so that this is all settled. He can transform into anything that's big and metal. Perrytronic.
It tested perfect. Looks like we are done.
Oh, no, you're not. Can it bake a pie? Can it train a seal? Can it give change?
Wow, she's right, guys. We're not nearly done.
No, I won't have it. But you have the duplicatinator, and it somehow makes multiple houses.
Yeah.
It duplicates things.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
I didn't see that coming either, and again, you know. I'm like, okay, Candace is in her room. Mom, where are you? I'm in the kitchen. Okay, I'm on my way. You know, all that. I'm like, wow, what's going on?
How did she miss her? Do they have another staircase in the house? That is so odd.
Well, obviously, it was a duplicate house on that empty lot next door.
Exactly. Yeah, see, Candace misses mom several times because mom's in the wrong house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other house that just conveniently disappears.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. What?
Wait a minute.
What now?
Well, no, it's because I'm like, oh, the house disappears because, of course, it disappears after 3 minutes.
Yeah, because, yeah, after 3 minutes, he had it on the baked potato setting. Yeah, that's why it disappears.
I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, all right, I'm sorry. I was perplexed there for a minute. This is the arms and tails that defy physics.
Yes.
But only for 3 minutes. That's right.
Yes.
And then my other favorite line was step 4, insert spaghetti into meat. Like, I'm going to try that.
I'm just going to order a pizza.
Yeah. Well, I ordered a pizza yesterday and pizzaed out. But in the beginning of the episode, she's like, do you want spaghetti and meatballs or do you want meatballs with spaghetti inside it? And she's like, basically, it's the same thing except for the shape.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is a genius move. I would totally try that. I think she was going about it wrong, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't look right. That was the size of that meatball was like a beach ball. I was having Aqua Teen Hunger Force flashbacks there.
There are so many shows that you watch that I've never seen and I have zero interest in watching.
Anything on Cartoon Network in the 90s, I think I've watched, you know. Aqua Teen Hunger Force. You want a trip? I'll bring it to you.
Oh, Lord. All right, so what are we going to give Mom in the house?
Oh, get your mind out of the gutter. I'm so sorry.
My mind's not in the gutter.
You going to give Mom something in the house?
Stop it.
I'm going to give that a 3 for a good ending. I like the ending. And the multiple doof head attack was novel and inventive. He just makes a bunch of heads and, like, take that, and throws his heads.
Yes, very, very angry birdish of him.
See, now it's not novel and inventive anymore. They stole it from Angry Birds.
Because his heads look like the yellow bird Chuck from Angry Birds.
But he uses a big slingshot as a bird delivery system, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I am also going to give it a 3.5 because I felt
generous of you.
Well, I felt that the doof plot was silly and crazy and whatever, but it led to a really awesome doof parry fight. Yeah. I mean, how often do you have multiple heads of your own head and
arguing with you? Yeah.
That was the fun. Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. I kind of like it. You would.
I had multiple heads, they probably wouldn't agree.
Yeah.
They'd fight a lot.
Probably.
Fight each other like, arr, take that, you know.
Yeah.
I hate you. And I hate the way your ear tastes.
That's TMI.
It seems like summer flies by so fast sometimes.
Yeah, before we know it, it'll be autumn.
Yes! back to school, baby.
All right. Finally up tonight, today, whenever you find people listening to this podcast that we do, is Minor Monogram. Woohoo! This begins the Monogram and Doofenshmirtz Love Fest. Lord. With fall around the corner, Phineas and Ferb decide to invent Sval. They couldn't come up.
Sval.
Yeah, Sval. A colorful world full of giant leaf piles and gourds. Meanwhile, over at Evil Inc., Dr. Doofenshmirtz is mentoring Rodrigo.
Rodrigo.
Yes. A budding student of evil. Unfortunately, Rodrigo truly is evil, and when he captures Dr. Doofenshmirtz and Agent P, it's up to Major Monogram's son, Monty, to save the day.
Carl.
Yes?
Did I ever tell you you're like the son I never had?
Really, sir?
Yes, it's because you're so unlike the son that I did have. And here he is. Come on over here, Monty.
Dad, come on. You know it's embarrassing when you brag about me by belittling others.
Right, sorry. Agent P, you remember my son?
Yeah, good to see you, Agent P.
Monty here just graduated from Hiswaka, the high school without a cool acronym.
Yes, I hope to follow in my father's footsteps and join you in the battle against evil.
You know, son, I've been meaning to tell you something.
Sure, Dad, shoot.
Well, as you know, my father was in the agency, and what you don't know is that he pressured me into following in his footsteps. But I always wanted to be an acrobat.
So that explains...
Yes, the constant acrobatic lessons you've been given since birth. You, Monty Monogram, don't have to give up my dream of becoming an acrobat. You can be anything you want to be.
But, Dad, I want to fight evil.
What? After all that money we spent on acrobat training?
I never asked for that.
Sir, I'll become an acrobat if it'll make you proud of me.
Really?
How can you not like a Robot Chicken episode of Phineas and Ferb?
Sigh. That was my sigh.
I mean, it is, you know, Seth Green as Monty, so.
No, I know. Well, yeah. He's got,
go ahead.
I don't know. Monty Monogram, voiced by Seth Green. You know who else had Seth Green as a son?
Who was that?
Dr. Evil.
Yes, that's very true.
And probably Seth Green's dad.
Huh? But, wait, what? You lost me there.
Sorry. I said, you know who else had Seth Green as a son?
Oh, stop that.
You might have to rewind a little bit to hear it again, but yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I might be the only person who's not thrilled with Seth Green's voice.
It depends on what he's doing with it. For Monty, I actually dig it. I think it's cool. At least they didn't get, you know... Christian Slater to do his voice.
Oh, why? Why would that be bad? That
would not be bad. Really bad, but
it's just like, you know. Well, it's better than like Ray Liotta as himself. You know, if Ray Liotta played Monty and it wasn't like, oh, I'm here as myself, then I'd be fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, Seth Green, his voice is a little overdone for me. I think it has been for a long time.
You've watched way too much Robot Chicken.
I did, because it was on Cartoon Network in the 90s. But who was I talking to? I was talking to John Machida.
Okay.
And John Machida was like, oh, you know, I got this new thing coming up, and it's if it works out, I'll be working with Seth Green. And I was like, Seth Green. And he's like, no, really, Seth Green. He's like really huge in Hollywood right now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm done with him. I don't like his voice. And John's like, all right, screw you. You know, it's just, you know, it's funny when you're sitting around, you know, chatting over dinner with one of your, you know, childhood voice acting, you know, idols, and he you know, basically says, well, I don't care what you think. You know, I like Seth Green. But yeah, away from my side note, I'm not a fan of Seth Green.
I like him in certain things, and there's only several things that I've seen him in. He was the voice, his voice was the voice that replaced Jason Biggs as Leonardo in Turtles for season 3 for the 2012.
Oh my god, I hated that. Yeah.
Okay, well anyway, he is in one of my favorite all-time 1993 films called Airborne. And he was in the remake in 2003 of The Italian Job. He was the Napster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what's funny is I don't mind him so much in live action. It's just his voice in voiceovers that I don't like. Like Family Guy, Chris's voice annoys the hell out of me. Robot Chicken, his voice annoys me. In Mass Effect, the video game, mm-hmm. I was dragged out of the game a little bit because I hear his voice and I think of, you know, Seth Green. I don't think of Joker. You know, and no, he didn't play the Joker, but he played a character named Joker, who was a pilot.
Right.
That was his call sign. But I'm just not a fan. I don't know. And I'm guessing he shows up more often.
He does. This is Monty's first appearance, I believe, because they have to do the whole introducing him thing.
Yeah.
Because they do this whole skit with, oh, Carl wants to be his son. Well, you're much better than my actual son. Blah, 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 blah. Monty Monogram, his nemesis are Rodrigo from this episode and then later Rodney. The first episode was this one. The final appearance was
Six times.
Yeah, save summary. Shows up six times. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's surprising. So, yeah. Interesting.
I think my favorite episode with him is Sipping with the Enemy.
Are we going to review that one soon?
I think fairly soon. I don't know exactly when, but soon-ish.
It's 3:29
Anyway.
We're currently on.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what we're on. It doesn't matter what.
It's we got 10 episodes to go. Anyway, yeah, so not to get too far down the rabbit hole. I mean, Seth Green wasn't my favorite, but like Yin has Yang, on the opposite side of the spectrum, we have Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants her top down.
That's right. Hey, now.
Well, she wants the top of the building down.
That's not what you meant.
What did you think I was talking about?
That's not what you meant.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
You had your mind in the gutter when you said that about her.
Well, no, I said that about the top of the building. And I didn't know the top of the building could do that, which is pretty cool.
Yes, we did. We knew that.
When?
He's done it all series.
I don't remember.
Yes.
I do not recall that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, and my brain hurts because you're trying to make me think.
Quick, consult the wiki.
I can't even do that. But
la, la, la. Wiki, wham, pow.
Oh my God. Stop it. Yeah, he's had it down plenty of times.
Okay, so what's funny is the wiki doesn't say anything about that in continuity. They totally usually do.
I don't know.
Hold on. Let me read it. You want me to talk while you read
it? Happen. I'm not reading it. I'm looking at the schedule to make sure you're right on your math. We will be doing Sipping with the Enemy in episode 79, day 79 of this podcast. So that is about 6 days away.
That is a van ass. Anyway, yeah, they don't mention anything about the roof coming off.
Hey guys, it's such a beautiful day. I thought maybe we could put the top down.
Oh, okay.
See, you are the best.
Not that too.
Shoot.
You know what's funny is we haven't even gotten into the part about the tree or about the leaves.
Yeah,
it's like they start the episode where they're up in the tree, and I'm like, I didn't even know you could get up in that tree. A lot of firsts here. Getting up in the tree, the roof opening, evil interns.
Yeah, evil interns is definitely a first. It's a good thing that tree wasn't a digital tree.
I can see that. I'm not sure where that's going, but okay.
Quantum Boogaloo, Candace is in the digital tree. Wait, isn't this a digital tree and she falls out of it?
Oh, that's right.
Sorry, I might be reaching, but at least I'm reaching for something that actually happened.
Yeah, that's a branch I can grab. I'm going to reach for that branch and take it. So speaking of evil interns, the evil intern wants to take over from Doof and Perry, mm-hmm. like posthumously.
Yep.
And this guy's actually evil. So he's actually, actually like, I don't want to take over the tri-state area. I want to destroy it.
So I can take over the world.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you think you would like, I don't know, issue demands to the United Nations or something first. You know, it's like, if you do not give me $1 million, I shall destroy the tri-state area. Which, again, goes back to Seth Green as Dr. Evil's son.
Yes. If you do not let me stay in the White House for another 4 years, I'll throw a temper tantrum on a social media platform that I can't be on anymore.
I can't be on anymore. Oh, my God. If you don't let me stay in the White House for another 4 years, I'll throw a coup and then deny doing it. And then, yeah, so let's not get political. All right. In fact, I shall make a Star Wars reference. Join me, Vanessa, and together we will take over the world. I'll even let you get a tattoo. Not me. Why would I? Evil intern. It's a quote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. But she says, join you. Why would I join you?
Oh, who? Jeez. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to follow along here, but and you're just like.
The gun. I wasn't done. It was something about tattoos and boots that come in pairs.
And nobody cares.
Well, that, I mean, I thought it was slick. I'm like,
that's no, it is. Yeah.
That's, yeah, that's how you get a date right there, and possibly first base.
Not in Vanessa's case.
No, she didn't like it. She's like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Combining fighting evil with acrobatics?
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
That's how you earn your father's love.
I mean, just look at Dick Grayson.
He didn't earn his father's love. His father was dead.
Well, yes, but
parents are dead.
But that was Batman. Sorry. He was using oh my god.
Da 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 da. Wham! Pow! Yeah. Oh, okay. It's getting late. Let's wrap this
Holy
up.
Holy rusted metal, Batman.
Holy massive piles of leaves, Batman.
I did like that, though, because...
All the leaves blow away?
Yes. No, well, yes, there's that, but yeah. I love that they built it up so much that you actually have what looks to be some sort of roller... It's not a roller coaster, but it looks like it.
It's literally like a roller coaster inside a pile.
Yeah. So when Candace slides in, I'm like, oh, that is so cool. I remember as a kid wanting leaf piles that high and obviously never having them. But growing up in Massachusetts, you know, I could get a pretty good leaf pile going. But, yeah, you know, a gust of wind comes by and that's gone. This thing.
It's a leaf pile you can see from space.
Yeah, well, you
it
know.
It doesn't seem safe to me to stand on top of it. I think it's a terrible idea.
Oh, it was a terrible idea for 25,000 twinkle lights that didn't twinkle. So, you know, you could still see that from space.
I suppose, but, you know, something that large that's hollow, that you're deliberately falling in from the top, you know. I mean, he's lucky they had constructed a giant, you know, kind of like log jam ride slide type of thing. Because they could have easily been killed. That wouldn't make for good children's television, but yeah,
obviously not.
That's where my mind went.
Clearly. I mean, season 3, you kill off your main characters. That's not good.
Well, it's like the Venture Brothers. You know, the main characters die every season, and they just clone them.
Oh Lord!
Well, you know, they're smart. They probably have vats of clones in the basement for just this, you know, occasion.
Yeah. What else you got for this one?
I think that's about it. You know, I liked it. You know, I thought it was weird that we were doing Sval when Sphinter was just a few episodes ago, technically. But it was clever. It had its ups for me. It had its downs for me. But overall, I'd give it a 4 for Gord helmets. Gord helmets.
I don't know how to respond to that. I
you didn't like the Gord helmets? I mean,
it was a little weird.
Especially, he's very crafty. Well, we didn't know that about him.
I mean, at least Buford's finally doing something crafty. I'm right at a 3.5. I mean,
you don't like Seth Green either, huh? Okay.
No, it's cool. Not about that. It has nothing to do with him. I actually like him as Monty. Lord. You better come around when we go to the coffee shop. Anyway, you know, it's more so, again, messing with the formula. It's original, I guess, having an actually truly evil intern come in. I like that Vanessa obviously defends her father and that kind of thing, and she tries to work with Perry and all of that, and I think that's cool. Obviously, the retractable roof and all that, that's nice, you know, so you can see the headlights and whatever. But overall, it just reached a little too far for me to give it anything other than a 3.5. And 3.5 is not a bad score out of 5, so.
Oh, it's mediocre plus half.
I'll give you meatloafiocre after. Oh God!
Oh well, no, mediocre is probably, you know, like a 1 or 2. I guess I'm being rude. I'm sorry.
Yeah. See. We are going to take a quick break. Come back to close this horrible podcast out after this. Oh crap!
That make me giggle.
Yeah, you've seen and heard way too many Seth Green things when it comes to the voice acting side of his. I take my Seth Green in small doses through future Seth Greens.
You're probably better off that way, but I got sick of him a long time ago. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't think it's right for me to actively dislike him because I'm burnt out on his voice, but it's what it comes down to.
I guess so. All right. What is this? 73. So, yeah. Okay. 73. Wait, this is the wrong folder. Holy crap. I'm tired.
Yeah, it's getting late.
Yep. I'm getting old. Yep. All right. We are back. Anything you want to say before we get the heck out of here?
You know, I was going to go on a clever rant about, you know, Phineas and Ferb, but I suppose I won't. We'll just close this out.
Why don't you want to go on your rant?
I'm tired. There's not enough time. We'll just...
There's plenty of time.
And you'll be annoyed, so we're only...
I'm more annoyed now that you're not going to say the damn rant. What's the rant?
Right. So... Remember earlier we talked about the parallel to Rick and Morty, those interdimensional TV show episodes. There's a rant in Rick and Morty where it's like the end of the season. I forget which season it is, but Rick is telling Morty that you know, basically they're going to be he's not actually going to kill him or ditch him in another dimension. He's actually going to make him part of his adventures, and he basically says that, you know, we're going to be here together forever for 100 years, and we're going to have adventures all day long and forever and ever. And he goes on for like 5 minutes, and it's hilarious because it's Justin Roiland, you know. Mm-hmm. But and I was going to substitute Phineas and Ferb for all the Rick and Morty substitutions in there, and yeah, it wouldn't come out right. I couldn't do it justice, and it would just sound dumb, so I'm going to skip it.
Once again, you've seen a lot of things that I have zero interest in.
Exactly.
If I don't already have an app where I can watch a show for free or because I already pay for it or whatever, then I don't know if Rick and Morty's on Hulu or not. I'll have to look. Anyway, thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are so many ways to get in contact with us with feedback for the show. Visit the website Geekcast Radio, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts, geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker. Please use any one of these, or you can use any other podcatching client you choose. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. I will check for episode 74, because as of episode 74, we will only have 1 month left of content for this podcast. We have 30 days. Yep, 30 days left.
Huh.
After we record episode 74. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG1 Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the network updates. What is your Twitter?
PeconCT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast or Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Pauke. I wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episodes of Phineas and Ferb from Season 3 featuring Excaliferb, the monster from the id, or monster from the id, and giants. Oh, great, a bug episode. That's just what I need. Oh, God. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
But wait, there's more.
All right.
Hey, I know, that's how I feel all the time.
You feel like Dr. Claw.
Dying here.
Or maybe you're Batman. You have too much gravel in your voice.
I'm Batman. Where is he? Where are the cookies?
Give me the cookies.
Hey, the Platypus, you are gonna get such a chickeny.
Ah! So sick of Transformers.
Oh my God.
No matter. Prepare to meet your chicken. What the heck's wrong with this? Oh my God.
I don't believe it. I go to the store for 15 minutes, and when I get back, I find you've turned our nearest chicken farm into a swap meet.
What did you buy, dear?
Frozen lasagna. They were on special, 2 for 1, so I bought 2. I figured we could have one tonight, and we could have the other one when your sister and her husband... Hey, don't change the subject!
Look, it's chickens! It's... I guess chickens aren't as funny as I thought.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Episode 73.
Close that out. I need to watch that again. I don't even know what that was for. All right. 73.
God, now I'm humming the Buford song. God damn it.
There's not really any more. That's about it.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car.
Download this show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Meat carbonated goulash pieces are closer than they appear. Meat carbonated goulash may be subject to license, title, tax, and destination charges. Please wash hands thoroughly after contact with meat carbonated goulash. If hunger persists after contact with meat carbonated goulash, consult your
physician. Oh, I'm sorry. Is this Studio A?
No, this is Studio... Hey, wait a second. You just wanted to get into this episode,
what?
Didn't you?
No!
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
Get out.
All right, but I can totally read that faster than you.
Out.
Okay, grumpy.
Batteries not included.
Batteries not included.
Out.